Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Cruise Radio is brought to you in part by TripInsurance.com. Travel insurance done right by the people who know travel insurance. Get a quote today at TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is
Cruise Radio.
Hey, what's up? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here, my friend. Coming up a little later on in the show, we'll get a review of Royal Caribbean's Empress of the Seas. Yeah, a newer ship for Royal Caribbean. They pulled it from their sister line, Pulmantier. It's now sailing short cruises out of Miami. Hinted around to maybe go to Cuba at some point, so Rick's going to share his review in just a little bit. Sherry Kennedy standing by with this week's edition of Cruise News, stepping in for Stuart Chiron, the cruise guy. A couple of housekeeping things. Make sure you follow us on Snapchat. We're heading to Alaska here in the next couple of days, so you'll catch some really cool pictures of Alaska and photos of Holland America's New Amsterdam by following Cruise Radio on Snapchat. Also, Cruise Radio News. Yeah, it's our Facebook group. Search us and look us up and kick around the cruise news with us. Okay, standing by is Sherry Kennedy with this week's edition of Cruise News. Hey, Sherry.
Hi, Doug. Here we go again.
Yeah, absolutely. Kicking it off with some not-so-good news this week. Very sad situation. Happened in Bermuda just a few hours ago. I say a few hours ago. We're recording this on Wednesday evening. Sherry, go ahead and enlighten us on that.
Yeah, this was this afternoon in Bermuda, somewhere just before noon. In fact, at 11:59 this morning, the first responders rushed over to King's Wharf in the Royal Naval Dockyard in Bermuda because the Norwegian breakaway during a routine lifeboat inspection and training drill, the lifeboat broke from its tether and was dangling by one strap above the water. What happened was four of the male crew members that were on board in the lifeboat fell into the water, and they were okay, but sadly, a 41-year-old Filipino man died as a result of his injuries. So that's the very sad news out of Bermuda this afternoon.
Well, we'll definitely keep that crew member's family and everyone involved in our thoughts and prayers. Istanbul, another craziness, I guess I'll just say, happened over there last week. And I know that Istanbul is a big turn for cruise ships, a big port for cruise ship turns. So any schedules being affected by this coup that happened last week, Sherry?
It certainly is. And flights from the United States are back to coming into Istanbul at Atatürk Airport. So that's back the way it was before the attempted coup. However, cruise ships always like to play it safe. So your major cruise lines have either given up on visiting Turkey altogether, or they are substituting it with visits to Greece, Italy, or even just adding sea days. The three cruise lines that have changed itineraries completely are Royal Caribbean, Celebrity, and Carnival Cruise Lines. Carnival Vista is scheduled to visit Kuşadası and has canceled it for July. However, they still plan to revisit Turkey in September. But of course, as every cruise line says, you know, it's up to the situation and it is being closely monitored. Royal Caribbean has the Brilliance of the Seas over there. That's going to be going to Crete. Celebrity Reflection was due to visit Kuşadası on later this week and also to Bodrum. And they're substituting that with visits to Rhodes, Greece, and over to Sicily. So they are making some, you know, last minute changes just to keep everybody out of, you know, potential hot zone.
Yeah, and the silver lining in all this is that it is a cruise ship, so cruise ships can move and be relocated. So if your cruise was going to Istanbul, yeah, you might wind up in Mykonos or Crete, where if you were going to a resort in Istanbul, it could be a different story for you.
Some changes which I don't think would get anybody too upset.
Not at all. Celebrity Cruises moving a ship from the Med to the Caribbean next summer. Why is that?
Yeah, that's the Celebrity Equinox. There were five ships that were deployed for Europe, originally scheduled for 2017, but they're going to not bring the Equinox back to the Western Med, and she will be sailing seven-night Caribbean cruises July June, July, and August.
Carnival Cruise Line announced some itineraries for 2018. Yeah, like a year and a half away. Nothing too new and too shocking, Sherry, but what were they?
Nothing too new. And the Legends used to these itineraries in the past. So the Carnival Legend will be doing Alaska and Hawaii in 2018. And you can book it already if you'd like to. They're going to stop in Skagway, Juneau, Ketchikan, and they'll, as usual, cruise the Tracy Arm Fjord. They'll finish it up with a trip in during the day to Victoria in British Columbia, which I have never been to, but I hear is absolutely spectacular. There will be a couple unique eight-day round trips out of Seattle and an eight-day from Seattle to Vancouver in September. If anybody wants to head to Hawaii, there's going to be two 11-day cruises. One will be departing April 20th, coming over to Vancouver to begin that season. And the other one will leave from Vancouver and go to Honolulu when the Alaska cruise season is over, and that's on September 13th.
Hey, those are like 11-day cruises, you said?
They are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and I know you've done Hawaii before from California.
Yes.
Is most of these days sea days getting over there?
Yeah, it's normally you leave out of Los Angeles or San Diego, and it's 5 days over, 5 days going around the islands, and then 5 days at sea coming back with a stop in, usually it's Ensenada because they have to make the, they can't go U.S. to U.S. port, so they go to Ensenada. This one will go from Hawaii to Vancouver, which, of course, is Canada, so it makes it legal.
All right, Sherry, our listener question comes from James. If you have a listener question, shoot me an email, doug@cruiseradio.net. James has a passport question, Sherry. He says, can I renew my passport 1 year early? And if so, would it give me 11 years until next renewal, or will it still be 10 years from when I renew? Of course, what James is referring to is normally every 10 years you have to renew your passport.
You know, that's a great question, but no. He can renew it early if he'd like, but it still will only be valid for 10 years from the time that he renews it. So if he's trying to get 11 years out of it, that's not going to work.
And that's Uncle Sam's rules, right?
That's Uncle Sam's rules. It's on the website. He can check it out at travel.state.gov and just click on passport renewal, and all the information that he or she will need is there.
We've been talking with Sherry Kennedy from cruisemaven.com. Sherry, thanks so much for joining us again this week. And we're not going to meet up next week because I'll be in Alaska on Holland America's New Amsterdam. But the week after that, maybe we'll get you to come back and talk some more cruise news.
That would be awesome. Have a wonderful time up north, and I'm so jealous.
This is Cruise Radio.
From its rich heritage, picturesque beaches, and unparalleled blue waters, it's no wonder over 7 million people cruise to the Caribbean every year. What do you want to do? Swim with stingrays at Stingray Bay? Go for an island tour? Take a beach break? Or set sail on a catamaran to spend the day snorkeling? Whatever you decide, cruisingexcursions.com has a shore excursion to fit your budget. Cruising Excursions knows your time on the island is limited and that you want to make the most of your day. That's why they have shore excursions up to 60% cheaper than the cruise lines and offer smaller, more personable tours. Find out for yourself. Research and book your next shore excursion at cruisingexcursions.com.
For over 42 years, Park West Gallery has introduced over 1.3 million people to fine art. Here's what actual customers are saying.
I've been collecting with Park West 5-6 years now.
6 years.
9 years.
10 years. Everybody we meet at Park West makes you feel comfortable. You're part of their family.
It is an exciting and fun experience. It is enjoyable, uplifting.
Park West has been so kind to us. Park West makes us excited to spend money on art.
To find out more about Park West Gallery, visit parkwestgallery.com or go to cruiseradio.net and click on the Park West Gallery icon.
You're listening to Cruise Radio, part of the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
We always like to get your cruise reviews here on the show. If you have one you'd like to share, shoot me an email, doug@cruiseradio.net. Rick just returned from Royal Caribbean's Empress of the Seas. It was a ship that used to be in the fleet, then went to Palmentier, which is one of their sister lines, and now back with the Royal Caribbean fleet sailing out of Miami. Rick's on the line right now. How you doing, Rick?
Fine. How are you this evening, Doug?
Good, my friend. I want to talk all about Empress of the Seas, but before we get to the ship itself, let's take a step back. What made you want to sail this ship?
Well, Empress of the Seas has always been one of my favorite ships. I had sailed on it three times previously, going clear back to, I think, 1993. And although it's smaller, I enjoy the layout, and I've always had great service and great food, and the walls of glass, and we just enjoyed it. And when Royal Caribbean announced that they were bringing it back, we jumped at the chance to take a voyage.
Now let's fast forward to you actually getting to Empress of the Seas at Port Miami. Embarkation day is upon us. How was embarkation for you from the curb to the ship?
Well, we flew into Fort Lauderdale and waited. Then we took a transfer with Royal Caribbean, and that was a little while. But once we got down to Port Miami, embarkation was actually quite smooth. It was a little later in the afternoon, maybe 2 o'clock, and it probably took about 15 minutes was all.
Okay, not bad at all. So you get on to Empress of the Seas. You've said you've sailed her before. So what were your impressions this go around?
Well, we knew that the ship had been out of the fleet, of course, for about 8 years. And when you walk back on board, you could immediately tell that the carpetings were new. Some of the furnishings had been reupholstered or were new. So it looked fresh overall, but yet it retained some of the classic features that she had had, the nine-deck atrium and the two-story dining room. Everything looked very, very nice. The cabins were all redone, hallway carpets redone in the same pattern, in my understanding, that they're using on Quantum class ships. So we were very pleased with the first glance.
Very nice. You make your way to your stateroom. What kind of stateroom did you have, and what did you think about it?
Of course, you know, I've read a lot of people always complain about the small staterooms on Empress of the Seas, and certainly if you're a little bit claustrophobic, it may not be the best thing in the world for you. And in the past, I had an inside and ocean view accommodations, and knowing what to expect was key, but I had been in the travel business, and I had always wanted one of six cabins that are on this ship that are significantly larger, but not priced like a junior suite.
Okay.
There's a three on port, three on starboard, just aft of the aft staircase, stacked one on top of the other. And they're F1 grade cabins, which is just priced as the standard outside, which are 138 square feet, which is really, really small.
Yeah.
So I managed to nab 9664, and when you walk in, it's about 200 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
So much larger, and it's a kind of a standard cabin layout when you come in, but then it has two picture windows, and it's almost a totally separate room. And this cabin was made for a triple, I believe it was. And then the separate room had another single bed. So it was almost like a junior suite, but significantly less expensive.
Nice. Did you find that there was plenty of room for storage and all of that?
A little tight on that. Some of the furnishings were new, but they hadn't redone any of the cabinetry. Bathrooms are extremely tight, but we knew that
sure,
going into it. But it looked clean and refreshed. And one nice thing with that type of a cabin, the second room, the window actually faced forward. So being on deck nine, I could look straight up to the bridge all the way forward and had a really interesting view.
Let's talk about dining aboard Empress of the Seas. How was the dining? I know it's an older ship, so we're talking the main dining room in the buffet area for the most part. Did that ship have any steakhouses or anything in it?
Well, to say that the ship was not ready for prime time,
okay,
is probably an understatement. We booked this back in December, and we ended up on the May 28th sailing. And I would never book an inaugural knowing of potential problems. So when we booked it, the sailings were supposed to begin in March, and then everything kept getting canceled. Well, they canceled everything up until our sailing. So by that point, it was past final payment, and we were stuck. Mm-hmm. The ship was not properly provisioned for the 5 days. There wasn't enough crew. The crew was about a 50-50 mix of hangover from Pullman Tour and new to Royal Caribbean. Okay. The buffet, we were hungry when we got there, and they had one line open, and in all honesty, I've seen better at high school.
Oh, wow.
There was very, very little to be had in that. And one day in the afternoon, about 3 o'clock, all we wanted was a cookie or something, and went by, and all they had was hot water. You couldn't even get iced tea. You couldn't get ice. And the dining, they're trying a new dining on this ship, and the wait times were hours for some people to get in. It wasn't quite so bad for us, but I know the first day that they did the brunch, the passengers were getting up and getting tea or water for themselves, and they didn't eat. They even ran out of French fries. Was how bad it is. They didn't have half the items on the menu, and then when they would come, they arrived to your table not being exactly what you ordered. They would substitute ingredients or just leave ingredients off.
Oh, wow. So this is one of the first sailings in the U.S., you said?
It was the first sailing.
Okay, so we're going to hope for improvement between that sailing and now.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we had discussions plenty with some senior management on board, and and they realized. And then they had a galley failure. The ship has new galleys, and one of them failed completely. But we were lucky because there were air conditioning problems as well, and we noticed in several of the public areas. But our cabin was okay, but a lot of people we ran into had no air conditioning for 5 days.
Oh, ouch.
And then to compound the problem was the toilets overflowed. So they sold the ship full, which they should not have done, knowing that there was issues with it. They should have had room to move people or let people know. And it was just a nightmare. The lines at the purser's desk were an hour to an hour and a half waits. And it got so bad, they ended up adding security to it.
I hate to ask this, but did you have any good meals on the ship?
We had the thing that stood out, their breads were absolutely outstanding. Mm-hmm. And whoever their pastry chef that did that was very good. But other than that, no.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. How about entertainment? How was entertainment aboard Empress?
The production shows were new, and it was kind of the standard Las Vegas style review. Mm-hmm. But the cast was talented. And the showroom hadn't been redone structurally, so there are some sightline issues in some areas. But overall, for the size of the ship, that I felt was very good.
Any sea days on this ship?
We had two sea days.
And how were they?
Which were, well, for me, they were great. We were lucky the whole trip to have absolutely gorgeous weather. And the ocean was like glass, and the ship has a huge teak promenade, and so it's great to go outside and walk and relax outdoors. So we really enjoyed the sea day.
How about outside by the pool and the sun deck areas?
You get on the upper decks, and there was severe crowding.
There
was some crowding on the lower, and of course the ship was designed for 3 and 4 day, and they figured most people would be off in port and not so much on board. Mm-hmm. So it does have limitations in that regard. They put new pools in, and they seemed a little bit smaller, possibly. And they added a couple of hot tubs, but I did hear people say it was tough. And they added a outdoor movie screen, but then the seating for that sort of a venue would be pretty difficult.
What ports did you hit on this sailing?
We had Grand Cayman and Key West.
Okay, how were they?
Grand Cayman was wonderful. It's my favorite port in the Western Caribbean. And again, it was a great day. Not too many ships, which was nice that time of the year. So the crowding isn't an issue ashore, and the tendering process was nice. We went to Guy Harvey, mm-hmm. that does the murals, on, and he has a restaurant there overlooking the harbor, and that was fun. And there's great shopping in Grand Cayman, and Key West was nice. We were able to dock right downtown and walk around, and it's always fun to see what's going on there. So we were real pleased with both ports.
So you make your way back to Miami. How was disembarkation for you?
Disembarkation took about 2 hours and maybe 2 hours and a half. We're Diamond with them, and they put us in a lounge, and we waited and we waited and we waited, and they would never send anyone back. And so several people went up to try to find out what was going on, and it was just absolute chaos. Nobody knew what to do. I don't understand why there was a problem with disembarkation, because certainly Port Miami has the facilities to handle significantly larger ships and larger passenger loads, but it was pretty bad, and there were several people were really concerned about missing their flights.
Wow, I'm speechless with this review, actually. But as I said earlier, hopefully things have improved since then. Any first time tips you may have for people sailing Empress of the Seas?
Well, if you're going on Empress, it pays to check where your cabin is. As with anything, don't get above or below the main show lounge, or you might want to avoid the cabins directly beneath the pool areas. The junior suites are beautifully done. Mm-hmm. We went into a couple of them and really liked it. But, go in with the understanding that if you want all of the bells and whistles that Quantum or Freedom or Oasis class has, this is not the ship for you. It's obviously being targeted for Cuba. The Boleros had Cuban artwork and photographs all over it. And I suspect that she'll enter that once the go-ahead is given, because she's the right size. And if they get their act together, it has the potential to be a really, really nice ship. Mm-hmm. The hardware is there, and people don't mind the smaller cabins. She used to be one of the very best I have been on out of 90-some-odd cruises. And I know she can be that again, but they're going to have to put a little bit of work into it to bring it back up to those standards.
I haven't been on the ship, but I agree. In closing, what are your final thoughts on Empress of the Seas?
Keep reading the reviews and checking to see what people are saying about it. But if you get the right price and have the right itinerary, then I would suggest giving it a try.
We've been talking with Rick from Indiana about his recent sailing aboard Royal Caribbean's Empress of the Seas. Rick, my friend, thanks for being on the show and sharing your review. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Thank you, Doug. It's always great to talk to you.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Cruise Radio is produced weekly at the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. Hear Cruise Radio on iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Overseas Radio Network, iTunes, or at cruiseradio.net. For sales and marketing opportunities, email sales@cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.